Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to unpack how money and banking really work, and more importantly, what that means for you and your community.
It's amazing how something we use every day, like money, is so mysterious.
Yeah, most people don't really understand it. But we're going to change that, right?
Exactly. We're going to shine a light on these systems and hopefully help people make smarter financial choices.
The choices that benefit not just them, but their local communities.
Absolutely. It's all about thinking and acting locally.
Speaking of local, if you find this deep dive valuable, we encourage you to support our mission.
You can visit our website at thinkandactlocally.com/donate. The links in the show notes.
Okay, so let's jump into it. Where do we even begin with something as complex as money and banking?
A good place to start is with loan banking.
Loan banking. Okay, so the traditional lending most people are familiar with?
Right. One person lends money to another expecting repayment with interest.
Like when a local business owner gets a loan to expand their shop?
Exactly. That loan helps them grow, create jobs, offer more goods and services.
It keeps the local economy humming.
And it's a win-win for both the lender and the borrower.
Makes sense. So this type of lending has been around for a long time, right?
Oh, yeah, centuries. Our sources actually mention the Medici family.
The Medici family. Weren't they, like, super rich and powerful in Renaissance Italy?
Yeah, back in the 14th century, they built a huge financial network. They financed merchants, artists, even monarchs.
Wow, so they were like the original venture capitalists.
Kind of, but the key takeaway here is that their system was non-inflationary.
Meaning they weren't just printing money out of thin air.
Precisely. Their lending was based on real wealth and careful risk management.
Okay, so that's loan banking. What about the kind of banking we have today?
Well, things got more complicated with the rise of deposit
banking. Deposit banking? What's the difference?
That's where banks started lending out more money than they actually had in reserves.
Wait, so they were basically creating money out of thin air?
In a way, imagine a warehouse storing gold, but issuing more receipts for that gold than they actually have.
Okay, I'm starting to see the problem. What happens if everyone shows up demanding their gold at the same time?
That's the danger. It's called a bank run.
A bank run. Yikes.
Yeah.
So how did this risky system become the norm?
Well, the legal system played a big role. A key turning point was an 1848 British House of Lords ruling in Foley versus Hill.
Foley versus Hill.
Oh.
Okay, what happened there?
That ruling basically said that money deposited in a bank becomes the bank's property.
Wait, hold on. So even though the bank promises to repay those deposits on demand,
they're not legally obligated to treat those deposits as belonging to the depositor.
Wow, that seems kind of shady.
It's the current legal framework, and this little distinction has huge consequences.
Like what?
It gives banks the power to create money by lending out deposits they don't actually have.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster. How does this affect me on a local level?
Think about it. The more money banks create through this lending process, the greater the potential for inflation.
Inflation, the silent thief that robs us all.
Exactly. It erodes your purchasing power, makes it harder to save and invest.
And it hits those on fixed incomes, or relying on savings the hardest.
Absolutely. It's a hidden tax that can have a real impact on local communities.
So we need to be aware of how these big picture concepts affect our everyday lives.
Precisely. Now this brings us to the role of the central bank, in our case, the Federal Reserve or the Fed.
The Fed, okay, I know they control interest rates. What else do they do?
Their historical purpose was to stabilize the banking system and prevent those bank runs we talked about.
Right, but they've become much more powerful over time, haven't they?
Our sources have a quote from a 1994 Fed publication that says, "The major control of changes in the quantity of money rests with the central bank."
Wow, that's a lot of power concentrated in one institution.
It is, and they control the money supply through various tools, the most significant being the manipulation of interest rates.
So they can basically dictate the price of money, but doesn't that give them huge influence over the economy?
It does. And this is where things get really interesting, especially from the Austrian school of economic thought perspective.
The Austrian school. Yeah, okay, I've heard that term before, but refresh my memory. What's their take on all this?
Austrian economists are skeptical of central bank intervention and artificial manipulation of the money supply.
So they think the Fed meddling with things actually does more harm than good.
They argue that it creates distortions in the market, leading to unsustainable booms and inevitable busts.
So those boom and bust cycles we've seen throughout history, they're not just natural occurrences.
Austrian economists would say they're largely a result of central bank policies.
That's a pretty radical idea. But how does all of this connect to think and act locally? It still seems pretty big picture to me.
Here's the connection. These booms and busts create an illusion of prosperity.
So it looks like things are going great, but it's all built on a shaky foundation.
Exactly. And when the bubble bursts, it's local communities that suffer the most.
Job losses, business closures, financial hardship.
It's a ripple effect that can devastate local economies.
So understanding these larger forces at play can help us make more informed decisions on a local level.
Precisely. It empowers us to be more discerning about where we bank, how we save, and even how we vote.
We can choose to support policies that promote sound money and sustainable economic growth.
And that's a powerful way to think and act locally.
It's about taking control and making choices that benefit our communities in the long run.
Absolutely. Now, with all this talk about economic uncertainty, it's hard not to feel anxious about the future.
Especially when it comes to things like retirement planning.
You're right. Retirement is a major concern for a lot of people, especially with the current economic climate.
So where do we even begin? What are some reliable ways to save for the future?
That's where understanding the true nature of the stock market is crucial. It's not always what it seems.
Okay, so let's talk about the stock market. It's often portrayed as the engine of the economy, right?
That's the common narrative, but our sources suggest it's not that simple.
So the media's obsession with the Dow going up or down, is that a distraction from what's really important?
It can be. The real stock market, where companies raise capital for investment and growth, is the initial public offering or IPO.
The IPO?
Right? So what about all the trading that happens every day on the exchanges?
A lot of that is speculation, not actual investment in productive activity.
So it's more like gambling than building a strong economy.
That's a good way to put it. The stock market can be a useful tool, but it's not the be-all and end-all of economic health.
And focusing too much on it can distract us from what's happening in our local communities.
Exactly. Now, if relying on the stock market for retirement is risky, what are people supposed to do?
That's the million-dollar question. Where can we turn for financial security in these uncertain times?
That's a great question and one that we'll delve deeper into in the next part of our deep dive.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to our deep dive into money and banking.
So we've been talking about how understanding these systems can help us make better financial decisions.
Right, decisions that benefit not just ourselves, but also our local communities. And at the end of the last part, we were talking about how the stock market might not be the best way to plan for retirement.
Yeah, and you asked a great question. Where can people turn for financial security in these uncertain times?
Because let's face it, saving for the future is a big concern for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And our sources actually highlight a quote from Ludwig von Mises.
Ludwig von Mises, he was one of those Austrian school economists, right?
Yeah, a prominent one. And he had some pretty strong words about inflation.
What did he say?
He said, "Inflation silently devours the savings of the masses."
Wow, that's pretty scary. So if inflation is eating away at our savings and the stock market's a gamble,
Yeah.
what are we supposed to do?
That's where this think and act locally idea really comes in.
Okay, I'm listening. How does thinking locally help us with retirement planning?
Where our sources point to some alternative saving and investment strategies.
Alternative strategies, like what?
One option that's gaining traction is dividend-paying whole life insurance.
Whole life insurance. That sounds a little unconventional.
It might, but it's basically a way to become your own banker.
Become your own banker. I'm not sure I follow.
It involves using a specific type of whole life insurance policy that builds cash value over time.
Cash value.
Yeah.
Okay, and what do you do with that cash value?
You can borrow against it.
So instead of going to a bank for a loan, you're borrowing from yourself.
Exactly. And because you're your own lender, you bypass all the bank fees and high interest rates.
Interesting. So you have more control over your money.
Exactly. And this is where the think and act locally connection gets really interesting.
Okay, I'm all ears.
Instead of your money being tied up in a system that might be fueling instability.
You're saying that with this strategy, our money could actually be working for our local communities.
Exactly. You could use those funds to support local businesses, community projects, or even lend to people in your community.
Wow, so it's like creating a localized financial ecosystem.
Precisely. You're putting your money where your values are.
I love that idea. It's about taking ownership of your finances and making a positive impact.
It's about building relationships, fostering trust, and creating a more resilient local economy.
I'm sure some people are thinking this whole life insurance thing sounds too good to be true.
Well, there is a learning curve involved.
It's not just a simple set it and forget it kind of thing.
Not really, but our sources emphasize that this is knowledge that can be acquired.
So it's worth taking the time to educate yourself.
Absolutely. There are financial professionals who specialize in these types of policies.
So do your research find an expert who can guide you through the process?
Exactly. And it's about more than just finding the right policy. It's about embracing a mindset of financial empowerment.
It's about taking control of your financial destiny.
Precisely. Our sources recommend reading books, attending seminars, connecting with others who are using these strategies.
So it's about building a community of informed and empowered individuals.
Exactly. And that brings us back to this larger conversation about free markets and decentralization.
Right. We talked about that briefly before, but I'd love to explore that connection further.
It's all about empowering individuals to make their own choices and find solutions that work for their communities.
So instead of relying on top-down solutions, we can create more localized and sustainable systems.
Exactly. And our sources have some really interesting examples of how this has played out in practice.
Like what?
They talk about communities creating their own local currencies, barter systems, even time banks.
Time banks? What are those?
It's where people exchange skills and services without using traditional money.
So, like, I could help you with your garden, you could give me a haircut.
Exactly. It's a way to create a more localized and self-sufficient economy.
That's amazing. It shows that we don't have to be stuck in the current system.
Right. There are alternatives out there.
Mm-hmm.
But these local initiatives often face challenges.
Like what?
Well, they're going up against the powerful institutions that benefit from the status quo.
So it's not always easy to create change.
It takes time, effort, and a lot of persistence.
But our sources seem to be optimistic about the potential for change.
They are. They believe in the power of collective action.
So it's not about waiting for someone else to fix things.
Mm.
It's about each of us doing our part.
Exactly. And they offer some practical advice on how to get involved.
Okay. What do they suggest?
They encourage us to connect with like-minded individuals, join organizations that share our values, and advocate for policies that support localism.
So it's about building a movement, a network of people, working towards a common goal.
Precisely. And they point to the success of other movements like the sustainable agriculture movement and the rise of community-owned renewable energy projects.
Those are great examples. They show that it's possible to create change from the bottom up.
Exactly. And that's really what this Think and Act Locally philosophy is all about.
It's about taking control of our lives and our communities and creating a more sustainable and equitable future.
And as we move into the final part of our deep dive, I want to leave you with this question. What's one concrete action you can take today to think and act locally in your own life?
It's about taking that first step, no matter how small.
Exactly, because every action, no matter how small, can contribute to a larger movement for change.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It feels like we've been uncovering so much about money and banking.
It's been quite a journey, hasn't it? From the history of banking to those alternative systems.
Yeah, and how all of this connects to the idea of thinking and acting locally.
That's the key, right?
Yeah.
Taking all this knowledge and actually using it to make a difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? What are some concrete steps people can take?
Our sources really emphasize the importance of taking control of your own financial life first.
Okay, that makes sense. Get your own house in order before trying to change the world.
Right. It's about those fundamentals we talked about, reducing debt, building savings, investing wisely.
Laying a strong foundation.
Exactly. The less you depend on traditional banks and that whole debt-based system,
the more freedom you have to make choices that align with your values.
Precisely. You can start shifting that power away from those big institutions.
And back into the hands of individuals and their communities.
Exactly. And once you've got that solid base, you can explore those alternative ways to save and invest.
Right, like that dividend-paying whole life insurance we discussed.
That's one option, but there are others too, things like precious metals, maybe cryptocurrencies.
Crypto. That's a whole other deep dive right there.
It is, but the point is to diversify your holdings and find assets that hold their value.
Especially with all this inflation we've been seeing.
Exactly. It's about protecting your purchasing power, making sure your savings don't just evaporate.
Makes sense.
Yes, sir.
But think and act locally goes beyond just finances, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about investing in your community in other ways?
Absolutely. Our sources talk about these amazing communities that have created their own system.
Greg, what kind of systems?
They mention local currencies, barter systems, even time banks where people trade skills and services.
Wow, that's incredible. People really taking matters into their own hands.
It's really inspiring, right? Proving that there are alternatives out there.
But those alternatives, they must face a lot of challenges.
Oh, they do. Going up against those big institutions is never easy.
Yeah, they've got a lot of power and influence.
But our sources remain hopeful.
What gives them hope?
The power of collective action. They believe in the power of people coming together to create change.
So it's not about waiting for someone else to fix things. It's about taking action ourselves.
Exactly. And they encourage us to connect with others, join organizations, advocate for policies that support localism.
Building a movement, a network of people working towards a common goal.
Exactly. Like those successful movements we've seen, the sustainable agriculture movement, community-owned energy projects, the rise of ethical investing.
Those are great examples. It shows that change is happening all around us.
And we can all be part of it. This deep dive has been about empowering ourselves with knowledge.
Recognizing that we're not powerless.
Exactly. We have agency. We can shape a better future.
It's about taking control of our financial lives and making choices that create a more just and sustainable world.
As we wrap up here, I want to leave you with this thought. The future is not set in stone.
We have the power to shape it with the choices we make today.
So if you want to see a world where finance serves humanity, embrace that think and act locally philosophy.
Start by making those changes in your own life and then spread the word.
Connect with others, share your knowledge, support each other's efforts.
That's how we build a financial system that works for everyone. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into money and banking. Remember, the power to change the world starts with you.